Luke chapter 12, and look at verse number 13, and we're gonna look a little closer at the latter verses we didn't really even talk about this morning. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. And of course, coveting is just wanting something that somebody else has. You know, you come to church and like, wow, I like those shoes. Okay, stop right there. Okay, because now you're going to say, I want those shoes. Okay, you can like something without wanting them. That's what coveting is. Okay, and you say, what's the key to overcoming coveting? Be content with what you have. Okay, those ugly shoes you have, just thank God for them. This man, come on, thank God for those. They're beautiful. And so beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. It's not what we have. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool. When God calls you a fool, you're a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then where shall those things be? Or then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And isn't that what we all want to be, is rich toward God tonight? And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. And how much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought of the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of mine, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. Okay, Jesus is sort of being gentle with them. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, give alms, provide yourself bags which wax not old. And those are God's bags. Those are bags that you put eternal treasures in. A treasure in the heavens that falleth not, that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Father, help us tonight as we just seek to have our motives right in everything we do. And part of what we do is we do for eternity. We want your blessing here on earth, but we know that we will be living with you forever and ever. Help us to think about it. Help us to meditate on it, and help us to live like it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. If you could, please turn to Colossians chapter 3, pretty familiar portion of scripture. By the way, Brother Bruce and I went on Friday to look at a church building that is much closer to Monterey Park for the Monterey Park Church. I commend the people in Monterey Park. Driving out here is awkward. I told them today, and they have such a great spirit. I said, you know, we believe that the New Testament teaches us that all churches should be church planting churches. A healthy apple tree will have apples. A healthy banana tree will have bananas. Healthy Christian will bear fruit as Christians, and a healthy church will plant churches. And we don't want them to wait 20 years like Long Beach waited. And I said, you know, this is just a part of it. It's very good for us. It's we didn't, you know, I wouldn't pray for us to have to do it, but it's good for us. But pray, it's a building. It's much closer here than Long Beach. It's about 10 miles closer or so. And so if you can pray Thursday, someone will show us the building. It's available from, it's a church building, which is nice, from 8 to 12:30. So that'll be nice if that happens. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek. I want everybody to say seek. Okay, I'm not an English grammar major, but that's an action word. That's a verb. Seek. You do something. Seek. Seek those things which are above. Okay, you go, you ladies, men would never do this, but you go shopping. See, what is that? You're seeking. Now, men, what they do is they really seek. A real man, when he goes shopping, he does not stop in every aisle. I said real men. By the way, we preach the Bible here whether you like it or not. Real men, they do not stop at the, oh, cute socks. If I'm going to the store and I'm going to get socks. I don't look at the shoes. I don't look at the shoelaces. We don't look at the, you know, we go straight to the socks. That's what I want. And my wife is just getting out of the car and I'm already back to the car. Seek. Okay, it's an action word. It's seek. And so, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek. What are you supposed to seek? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know what he's saying? He said, if you really want to be eternally minded, if you really want to be forever and ever minded, if you really want to have those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, you have to seek it, okay? You have to be about it. And I'm not going to go into all this tonight, but there's a Greek mindset and a Hebrew mindset. And I'm going to just, you say, what's a Greek mindset? A Greek or the lost mindset, and it's thousands of years old. It's, and don't, I went to school, I went to college, I went to high school, I went to elementary school, but here it is. Go to school, get a good job, get benefits, get everything taken care of, so you don't have to think about it anymore. That's the Greek mindset. The Hebrew mindset is walk with God, develop spiritual character, get wisdom from God, use your creativity, and everything else will take care of itself. Now, let me explain here. We are, even our Christian school, our school system, and by the way, public schools in the scheme of world history is a relatively new thing. Public schools, Christian schools, you say, how were most people educated? At home. They were educated at home, and then they were tutored, and they were apprentices. You didn't necessarily go to a school; you were apprenticed. But here's the thing, here's the thought: we have so stifled the creativity of humanity that everybody wants to just do this, this, and this, and then we don't have to think anymore. And what it does, it stifles our Christianity. And you say, well, what does that have to do with this verse? Seek. In other words, it's saying, listen, if you want to be heavenly minded, go to church. That's one way to seek. That's not the only way. But we can seek, and I'm getting ahead of it. We can seek in the scriptures. Nowadays, instead of seeking online for shopping and, what my son, Oakley glasses. Okay, put the seeking of the Oakley glasses away, and why don't we seek heavenly things? Okay, don't worry. My son didn't get offended. And if he did, even though he's a lot taller than me, I can still take him out when we get home. Okay, seek. Okay, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. God wants us to have a mind that is eternal, and he wants us to work at it. And listen, I remember as a new Christian, I sort of thought, I met some charismatic people, and the charismatic people, they just intimidated me. And I thought, maybe one of these days, and by the way, they give you the haves and the have-nots feeling. Okay? They have something I don't have. No, they don't. And a lot of times they do, okay? But it's not what you think it is. But I sort of thought, you know, you have to wait till you have the gift, or you have to wait until, you know, God knocks you off your chair. No, God wants us as his people to seek him and to seek those things which are above and go after. That's why it's seek those things which are above. Look at your verse 1, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We read about that this morning in Revelation 21 and 22. Set your affections. That set is another action word. In other words, don't just sit there. Don't just sit there, young person. Don't just wait for, you know, mom and dad to read you the Bible. Don't just wait for a chapel session. He says, set your affections. Work at it. Set your affections on things above, not on Oakley sunglasses. On things, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. A forever and ever mindset. I mentioned this morning, it's a joy to know so many forever and ever type people. Just people that are heavenly minded. And it doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter your upbringing. It doesn't matter if you were reared in a Christian home. Everybody can have a forever and ever mindset. And then we said this morning, much of our inner turmoil is rooted in the lack of eternal mindset. Mine. Inner turmoil. You say, why? Because we're coveting. We don't get what she gets. I don't get what he gets. I want this. Listen, if you're walking with God, all circumstances are ordered by God. And so we're not disappointed. There's a little disappointment. Forever and ever, people in some ways are invincible. They have a peace at all times that passeth all understandings. Temporal-minded people live in constant frustration no matter what happens. They now have so-called achieved their goals, and now they say, why am I so empty? As God's people, we will live in constant frustration and double-mindedness if we do not regularly meditate on the truth about eternity, living for that which is eternal. The more you have, I mentioned this morning, I'm just going to breeze through this, the more you have, the harder it is to have a forever, ever and ever mindset. There's a predisposition for living in a temporal lifestyle. 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19, charge them that are rich in this world. By the way, many more people are rich in this church than we think we are. Okay? Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And then we said this morning, for the less you have, the easier it is to have the faith you need for a forever and ever mindset. There's new information, you know, there's new data out there and there's new experts. I got this, you know, I get these little emails. There's people now, so-called financial experts are saying the end of 2013 and the end of 2014, we're going to have a worse financial collapse than we had 4 or 5 years ago. Brian said, amen. Now, I'm glad that I don't have to depend on the economist. I don't have to, and you and I don't have to depend on the economy. By the way, Pastor, do you think it's going to happen? I don't know. I do know this. I'm not an economist. Printing of dollars does not help the economy. It's fake. Okay, it's a Band-Aid. But I do know this. Most people are better Christians broke. You asked, I'll tell you again. I'm not sure it's best. I think it's great for a teenager to work with no pay. Teenagers are a lot better Christians broke. Can I see your wallet, please? I never forget, we used to have what we called the public school ministry, and the leader said, hey, listen, I've challenged all my teenagers. I've challenged all the teenagers to get a job so they can get a car, so they can pick up more teenagers and get them saved and bring them to church. By the way, he didn't ask my advice, but that's okay. I didn't scold him. This guy ain't got a penny. Yep. They got jobs. They got cars. And we haven't seen them since. Okay? Yeah, they're picking up people. They're not bringing them to church. Now, by the way, parents, just be wise. That's why you need to walk with the Lord and learn, and don't let the culture dictate how you live. The majority is more often wrong than right. James 2:5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this? And again, I mentioned this morning, it would be wonderful if Nick Grande became a millionaire overnight. I'm not sure if he'd be singing up here very often. I don't know. Okay. And hopefully, by the way, millionaires ought to be doing a lot more than tithing. The more you have, the larger percentage you ought to be giving. It's not how much you give, it's how much you have left after you give. It seems, and I quote, it seems that this greater use for eternal type living is the only justification for being a wealthy Christian. Those called to this ministry had better be obedient to God's calling in this area. It is a dangerous place to be like being behind enemy lines during a war. Richard Foster is the guy. Called the money ministry of a Christian is living close to hell for the sake of heaven. Meaning the more money you have, the greater temptation it is to, the more money you have, the more options you have. You understand that? Okay? And when you don't have much money, about the only option you have is God, so just go with it. But God does give people the gift of giving. People with the gift of giving have the ability to make money. They're resourceful. They're good at investing. And God wants them to invest in his kingdom. The path is fraught with great frustration and temptations, and those who walk it have to face perplexing decisions and tragic moral choices that most people will never have to consider. He's talking about people with money. In many ways, our life will be immensely more complex or complicated, though it does not need to be complicated. We will need the prayer and support of the people of God who must stand by us, counsel us, guide us. We will be living close to hell for the sake of heaven. Okay? There's a predisposition for living a life of faith for those that have little. By the way, you know what we ought to do? Just if for some reason God has prospered your business, he's prospered you at your workplace, you're getting raises, you have a surplus, thank God you have the blessing of being able to give more. Amen? Those of us, we have less, we don't have as much, we don't know where the next, you know, we don't know how we're going to pay this bill. Do you know what? We have the blessing of trusting God more. And so just count your blessings. having an eternal mindset, we said, is essential for going to heaven, and we talked about salvation. And then having an eternal mindset is, this is the one point tonight, and then we'll on this note, we'll finish the point, and then we'll all leave and go to In-N-Out. Having an eternal mindset is like keeping weight off after 40. You must constantly work at it. During our 25th anniversary, our necks get bigger. Brother Ross, don't laugh. Your neck is disappearing, okay? If we're going to pull out some old pictures, we all used to look like my son. Brother Myers looked anorexic. I was very, 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 I looked like Charlie Chim. And I was very skinny. My brother, really, he looked very ill. He looked sick. He was so small, so skinny, so frail. How many remember those days? Now, I used to play basketball with our guys 3 or 4 times a week. And I really, on Raymond and Anaheim, we'd play ball over there, even on Pacific some. And then just timing and just didn't really have the time. And as soon as I quit the basketball, I'm starting to only be able to see the tips of my shoes, okay? And something about getting a little older, maybe it's your metabolism a little bit. Maybe you're just not as active. I can't stand seeing a skinny 50-year-old. They just make me jealous. I said skinny, Brother Creo. But here's the thing. You had better, you hit 40, you better work at it. Because things are going to be going really out of control if you don't work at it. You know, whether you're walking or, I eat, this morning I had one egg. I usually have an egg on a piece of toast. For some reason, that's one egg and a piece of toast. And then I have carrot, orange juice. And then for lunch, it's typically now working on the job site. And our this whole summer, it's just been so, for the staff, it's been real chaotic. But anyway, usually it's a spinach salad with maybe some chicken, little chicken, and that's my lunch. And then dinner is 4/4 pounder of cheese, 7 extra extra large fries, but having an internal mindset, it can come and go, just like that. I'm amazed. I'll talk to some people. I'm going, wow. And I know we're not supposed to judge, but it's fun to, you know. I won't say anything, but I'm like, wow. This guy's whole perspective of life has changed. I won't say anything. I'm like, you can just tell. You just, their whole perspective. At one time, they were an eternally minded person. And now, you know what they are now? A good person. There's a difference in an eternal. Listen, Mormons are good people. Mormons are good people. A lot of the Jehovah's Witnesses are good people. Listen, I know some, you ever say this? Good Catholics. Okay? You know what God wants us to be? Godly people. So we have to work at it. And we saw that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen to Christ, seek, work on it. Seek those things which are above. Don't wait for them to come your way, but seek. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set. Okay, you're gonna set something down on a ledge, or you're gonna set it on a shelf. Set it. It's work at it. It's an action word. You've got to do it on purpose. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand, set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Let me give just a few practical ways in our setting. Right here at Pacific Baptist, that we can seek those things that are above. Set our affections on things above. I'm going to be real practical. Here's number one. Go to the mission field. So where do we go from Colossians 3 to China? There's something about going to a mission field for a week or two. There just something is. There's something about it. You see people that are very poor, and you see people very, very open to the gospel. And you get to hang out with those type of people. Number two, quickly, I'm going to go fast. Study the Bible. Study the Bible. Read it and study it. By the way, all I did this morning was read some verses in Revelation, read some in Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 22, just read some verses and commented on them. You know what? They're rich verses about eternity. Read your Bible, study your Bible. By the way, hang out in Revelation. You say, why Revelation? Spend some time. I've done it, I think, on two occasions where I just read the whole book of Revelation, 22 chapters. By the way, they're very short chapters. Most of the chapters in Revelation are very short. You can read through it, and you know what happens? You get out, you almost feel cleansed. You almost feel like, wow, this is great. God's in control. God has already orchestrated what's going to happen. The plan's already in place. Let's just get on with God. Study your Bible. Hang out in the book of Revelation. Study prophecy. And don't become a prophecy nut, if you would. When I say a prophecy nut, next thing you know, 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988. And all, don't go that far. But listen, prophecy helps you to just say, man, I'm on the winning side. I've got a God that knows the future. He's created the future. He's in charge. Let's just walk in his steps. Study the scriptures about what happens after death. It's good to read. Here again, this morning we read about God, and we know it, but we saw God's our God. We're going to see him. There's going to be a river coming underneath the throne of God. And by the way, folks, it's really going to happen. Study the scriptures about what happens after death. The Bible has a lot to say about heaven and hell. Identify with and have eternally minded friends. What do you and your friends talk about? What do you talk about? Identify with. You say, I don't have any. There's a bunch of them. There's a lot of eternally minded people in Pacific Baptist Church. Okay, if you have a tendency, by the way, I made a decision. I'll never forget, I was a young Christian. You got to make it yourself. You serve God by yourself. Now, we serve God together, but there's got to be that decision that I, though none go with me, I will still follow. And I had to make the decision because I had a girlfriend. Is my wife in here? Good. I had a girlfriend. That was way, way delayed. Come on, this isn't a phone call to you know, Yugoslavia. But, I found out, right, first thing is, my 11th, is Robert Ramirez in here? Where's Robert? Right there. My 11th grade year, I was a pagan. See, what do pagan people do? Don't worry about it. And I either got saved between, either got saved or got the assurance of my salvation between my 11th and 12th year in summer. Okay? One of the two things happened. I have a tendency to think I got saved. I may have got saved at 14, but anyway, I got the assurance of my salvation. I gave my life to God. My life dramatically changed. First thing that happened, by the way, in the summer, I'm like, wow, I never forget, Randy Heartless. He called me. He was my best friend. He lived in Whittier. I used to, by the way, back in those days, we used to hitchhike. How many used to hitchhike? Remember hitchhiking days? We literally, I would hitchhike to La Mirada. I'd put my thumb out on Cherry Avenue, and it would take me, they'd take me all the way to Rosecrans, and I'd get on Rosecrans, and I'd put my thumb out, and it'd take me all the way to La Mirada. That was, by the way, that's called free gas. Randy Heartless called me, and he said some things, and they were things totally of the world. No one ever taught me how to stand alone. I didn't know all that. And all I told them is this: I don't do that anymore. And I use this term. I said, I turn to the Lord. He got real quiet. By the way, guess what? Randy Hartless never again talked to me about, actually, that was the last I ever heard from him. I didn't ditch him, but you know, my friends start, Robert, I don't know if you remember this, I had a Bible, you came up to me and you said, hey, why are you bringing your Bible to school? And I've ditched him ever since, okay? But I went back to school, and I brought my Scofield Bible. Now, I didn't know it was a new Scofield, and if you know, it had changes in it. But anyway, I had a Scofield Bible, and I brought that Bible. Someone gave it to me. My first Bible I had was a cartoon Bible. So that cartoon Bible, I was, you know, the new Scofield actually was a little better than the cartoon Bible, I guess. But I went to school, and all my friends were staring at me. I brought my Bible to every class in the public school. By the way, you might want to bring your Bible to work, unless they tell you not to. If they tell you not to, they're paying you. Don't bring it to work. I'll never forget. Remember Mr. Rustin? Did you have metal shop? Metal shop, Brother Rob? You have metal shop, Mr. Rustin. I put my Bible. You'd have the class there, and then you'd have the shop over there. And I put, man, people would just sort of seem like walk around my desk. But I had a girlfriend. By the way, I lost all my friends. I didn't ditch them. They didn't want to have anything to do with me because they knew I wasn't going to get caught up in what they were doing. By the way, one by one, many of them got saved. Brother Myers was one of them. He got saved. For a while, by the way, I was the bad guy of our group. Brother Myers was not quite as bad as, not, my brother was the real bad guy. He was a real, listen, I was an angel compared to my brother. When you're getting kicked out of the whole school district in junior high, you know something's wrong. I graduated. My brother didn't. He didn't graduate from junior high school. But, I had a girlfriend, and she all of a sudden, you know how people all of a sudden they tell you they're Christians? Like, she was a Christian. I'm like, I didn't know that. Once I got saved, she's a Christian, right? Everybody's a Christian once you get saved, right? Oh, I'm a Christian too. My grandfather's a preacher, and she was a nice girl. But to make a long story short, you know what she did? She pulled me down, and I came to her, and I told her, I said, listen, I'm going to serve the Lord with you or without you. Okay? By the way, some young men need to stand up and just say, I'm going to serve the Lord with you or without you. You say, how do you know if she's the right one? If she makes you a better Christian, she might be the right one. Or if he makes you a better Christian. If you're both sort of wishy-washy and you keep dipping into the world, you're both the wrong ones. Identify with and have eternally minded friends. Read books. Spend time with godly people. Determine to be a giver to eternal investments. Where your treasure is, we read tonight, there will your heart be also. Love people, but separate from the temporal-minded people. This Bible teaches separation. God said, when you go into Canaan, you separate from the people lest they turn your hearts away from God to other gods. That's right there. You are becoming or will be like those people you're spending time with. Love everybody. Be there when they're ready to have God in their life, but you shouldn't run with them if they do not have God preeminent in their life. Allow the development of being eternally minded to get you involved in eternal activities. I can give you 100 of them tonight. You say, what's an eternal activity? How about winning souls to Christ? That's an eternal activity. How about giving to eternal causes? How about tithing? One of the first ways you can tell if you're slipping is when you quit giving your first fruits to God. You have all kinds of, well, I don't like the church I go to. Or I can't afford it. Or, well, I give in other ways. I work on the construct. Listen, we would rather you tithe than work on the construction site, and that's your tithe. Okay? Good. Somebody say amen. Sometimes, well, I'm buying this, you know, for somebody that's needy. But giving to eternal causes, missions, tithe. I mentioned just a little bit of the coming economic collapse. You can close your Bibles. Ladies, you can put your shoes on. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's stand together.